Begin the current daf, Masech Pesachim, daf Ayin Dalet. Begin the seventh parak in Masech Pesachim, continuing on the theme of this Pesach. Sheini, the second half of Masech Pesachim, talking about the carbon Pesach, and specifically our carbon. Our parak is talking about the preparation of the carbon, as the title of the parak is, Ketzatzon, how do we roast the carbon Pesach, which is the halacha specific to carbon Pesach, that it has to be eaten in a roasted state, not cooked. So our Mishnah begins. Ketzatzon is a Pesach. How do we roast the carbon Pesach? How exactly, specifically, is that process done? So now the Mishnah tells us, Mevi'in shapud shel rimon, you bring a spit of pomegranate wood, which Gemara is going to explain exactly why pomegranate wood, v'teich v'letech pib, and you stick it into the mouth of the animal, of the carbon Pesach, ad beis nekuvasai, up until the other hole on the other side of the animal, and v'noisin es kravetz b'nei meyav l'teicha, and you put the legs of the animal and the intestines inside of the animal. And that's because the pasuk says that the carbon Pesach has to be tzliyesh, roasted over fire. Roish al karav has to have its head on its knees, which means to sound like I have to have the whole animal together. So what you do is you take those other parts and you put it inside of the animal and you're roasting it all together at one time. Divrei Rabbi Yosef Halevi, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Halevi. Rabbi Akiva Aimer, he argues and he says, Kamin bishul huza. What that form that you, Rabbi Yosef Halevi, are saying is like cooking, because what you're doing is the intestines are cooking inside of the animal, almost like a pot. And that's not good because you're not allowed to cook anything. It has to be purely roasted. So rather, what you do is you don't stick the intestines and the feet inside the animal. Rather, you stick it on the spit on top of the mouth of the sheep, of the animal, and that's how you roast it, but not by putting it inside. Rather, you put it all together as one, but on top of it, not inside of it. Or else that's going to be considered cooking, and that's not allowed to be done regarding the Korban Pesach. Then the Mishnah continues, Ein tzon es ha-pesach lo yal ha-shapud. However, one is not allowed to roast the carbon Pesach, not on the spit of iron, as the Gemara will explain, and that is because regarding metallic items, for example, of iron, when you heat up part of it, then the entire spit gets hot. And ultimately, that means the carbon Pesach is going to be roasted, not just from the heat of the fire, but also from the heat of the spit itself, which is inside the animal, where that part is not getting heat of the fire, only from the metallic spit, and therefore it's going to be what's called the invalidation of being roasted by davar acha, something else. And the Torah says it has to be tzliyesh, it has to be roasted only by fire. And if you use a metal spit, that's not going to be just from the fire, it's going to be from the spit also. And v'loya la'askala, and you also can't roast it on the grill. Again, the same reason, because since they're metallic, you're going to end up roasting the animal, not just from the heat of the fire, but also the heat of the grill. Amr B'tzadik, he says, Maestr Ringam Leel, there was an incident with Ringam Leel, Sha'amla Tabi Abdi, that he told Tabi, his slave, Tzei B'tzalo Nesa Pesach ala Askala, he said, go out and roast the Korban Pesach on the grill, which seems to contradict what the Mishnah just said. Now the Gemara asks, V'nesi Shal Matzchis, so we start off saying, how do you do this process of roasting the Korban Pesach? Again, this was after it was slaughtered, and they did all the Avodis. Now people are going to roast it so that they can eat it for the Seder night. So he said, you put in a spit of pomegranate wood. So he said, why? Why don't you just take a regular spit of metal, which is always the most convenient? It's the best conductor of heat. And then the Gemara answers, I did the chamek tzase cham kuli, that since when you heat up part of the spit, then the entire spit gets hot. Exactly as we said, because it is a good conductor of heat. The kamatvi machmas hashapud, so it comes out that the part of the meat is going to get that which is not, let's say, directly under the heat of the fire, which is going to be roasted by the heat of the spit. And the Torah says in the Pasuk in Shema, it has to be roasted by fire, but it can be roasted by something else, and that would include even the spit itself cannot be roasting it. So now the Gemara says, fine, I understand why I can't use something metallic, like as the Gemara is asking, that it should be out of matres. But v'nesi shel dekel, why do you have to bring the tree of wood of pomegranate tree? Just let it be from a palm tree. And then the Gemara says, no, that wouldn't work either, because Aidi de Islay Shive, since it has grooves, which is like there's lines inside of that wood, so mapig maya, so then water, whatever's inside of that comes out as a liquid, and therefore that's going to be coming in the animal, that liquid's going to be cooking it, and again, cookie's not good, it has to be just roasting, which is purely over fire without any liquids. That the Gemara says, fine, but v'nesi shel te'ena, let's bring the tree from a fig tree, take that wood. That the Gemara says, I did the mechalchal, since it's hollow, like Rashi says, like the wood from willow tree and from egos, where there's the sap inside, so mapik maya. So then the water is going to come out, that sap's going to come out, havalik mevushal, it's going to be like cooking, and again, that's problematic, and that's why you can't use that wood. Then the Gemara says, v'nesi shel aloin, bring from oak, which that's hard, shal charuv from carib, vishal shikma from sycamore, where there you don't have these concerns. Why don't you use those type of wood? Again, why just pomegranate? Now the Gemara says, I did the isbi kitre. Since these woods, these branches, they have knots, and you have to smooth them out with a file or with a knife, so mapik maya. So again, the water that's inside is going to come out through where you had cut it with the knife. Hence, it's going to be cooking the carbon pesach again because there's liquid. We don't want to have any liquid coming out because of this wood. Then that the Gemara asks, shall read menami is bekitri. But if you look at pomegranate wood, you see that there also there's knots, and therefore that should be a problem too. That the Gemara says no, because shia kitri. The knots of the pomegranate wood are very smooth, and you don't have to put a knife over it because that you shouldn't have these knots being a problem because they're smooth, and if you don't have to file it, and hence it's not going to be something that you're going to be taking off, that the water inside is going to be coming out. Vibaisim, and another answer to this question, but that the pomegranate wood also has knots, is benavga barshat. So we're talking about that it's a sapling that's only in its first year, where they're the less bekitri, where there it doesn't have knots. And that's why the Gemara explained why our Mishnah said necessarily it should be the wood, a spit of pomegranate wood, again, to resolve all these problems, that it should be just sli eish and not have it, let's say, bishul because of the liquid that's inside or because of the problem of, let's say, by matches, where it's not going to be just sli eish, it's going to be sli machmas davar achar. But that the Gemara asks, vo'ika be paskate. But the problem is you can't avoid the sense of that where the top of the spit is going to be, where you had broken it off from the tree itself, there it broke off, and there's going to be some of that liquid that's going to be coming out. So that should be a problem. Now, the Gemara says, you're right, where you're breaking it off, but the mapik lay lebe paske labar, where you had broken it off, you're going to have, as the animal is hanging downward, you're going to have it coming out of the mouth of the carbon pesach, where even if it's going to come out, it's not going into the carbon pesach, and that's why it's not going to be a problem. So that's the conclusion of the Gemara. Now the Gemara says, Masnitin the Lake Rabbi, our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanakh Linda Bryce, Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, he says, Keshem Shashaput shall ace, just like a spit made out of wood, where when you're hanging in the oven and it's the wood is covered over by the animal, by the sheep itself, that Ene Nisraf, so we say that what's inside the sheep doesn't get burnt because the sheep itself is covering over it. Kach Shaput shall matches, he says, so too by a spit of metal, Ene Martiach. It doesn't get hot. In other words, what's inside the animal is being shielded by the animal. And we don't say that from the metal that was outside that's getting heated, it's going to heat up what's inside too, which that's why he's not like our Mishnah, which our Mishnah said specifically, and that's what we had just discussed, that metal would be a problem because it would be chamek tzaza chamek ulay. And he holds, no, he holds just like wood. What's inside the animal is shielded, and hence it doesn't get. As the Gemara says, or Amaloy, they said to him, as the Brisa continues, that although that the inside of the wood doesn't get burnt, but the inside that's covered by the sheep does get hot if it's metal, because they told him there's a difference. Zeh, regarding a case of metal, chamek tzasi cham kuloi. You're right, it's shielded by the animal, and only what's outside is being exposed to the heat. However, by metal, it's a conductor, and therefore, even if some of it gets hot, the rest gets hot, and therefore, even what's covered by the animal will get hot, and therefore, it will be a problem of not being tzliyesh, it'll be tzli of the shaput, of the spit too. However, zeh, regarding the case of when it's made out of wood, which is why we said, and that's the town of our Mishnah, which said it has to be just out of wood, is chamek tzase in cham kuli. If some of it gets hot, the rest of it does not get hot. And therefore, it is essentially tzli'esh, because whatever is exposed to the fire is the same thing for the spit and for the animal. Therefore, it's going to be coming directly from the heat. And what's inside the animal, which is not being exposed, is not getting hot from the fire either. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah that we said, v'neisin es kuroi, we had a machlekes, regarding what do we do with the other parts of the animal that was taken out in the process of cleaning out the carbon for the Karban Pesach. So we have the intestines, which also have to be roasted along with the rest of the animal, and the feet, which was also taken off. What do we do? Do we put it inside the animal, or do we put it on top? So we had a machlekes in our Mishnah. So the Gemara brings a brisa that's similar to this machlekes, to Tanya Linda brisa. Yubi Shmuel kareyu tuch tuch. Yubi Shmuel would call this process of what they did with the krov and the intestines, he would call it tuch tuch. What that was really a play on words is that because he held that it was put inside the animal, like Rabbi Yitzchak Lili. And therefore, when it was roasting and cooking inside of it, essentially like Rabbi Kiva had asked, so you heard the sound of cooking, which the Gemara elsewhere calls, it's called tuch tuch tuch. That's the sound it makes. So he would call it tuch tuch, which is a play on the word of teich, because it was put inside the animal. He held that it was, and that's not a problem of bishul, because that's the process the Torah mandates. Rav Tafrin Kareyu Gedima Kulis, he would call the process of a helmeted kid goat. And that's because he held, like Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah, that this term Mekulas is like a term of a copper type of a helmet, because he held that you would put the intestines and the feet on top of the animal by its head, and therefore it looked almost like as if there was a metal helmet on top of the warrior, which was how the kid goat looked. And again, this was their definitions for the same achlikas of our Mishnah. So related to this, regarding this term of gedimah kulas, the Gemara says, "Tarma learn the brisa. Izehu gedimah kulas. What is called a helmeted kid goat? In other words, essentially another term for the Karban Pesach. The asur lechel b'leila Pesach bezman azeh. That's forbidden to eat the Karban Pesach today when there's no more Beis HaMikdash. And that is the Mishnah says on the Nun Gimel Amud Aleph that you're not allowed to eat roasted meat on Seder night by the Pesach by the night in a place where the minig is to have that type of minig, not to eat roasted meat because it looks like you're having the Karban Pesach outside of it. What would look like? What gives that appearance that would be like the Gedim Kulis, like as the Karban Pesach was done? So on that, the Braisa says that kol shetzole kula ke'echad, if you roasted it totally as one, which is essentially both opinions, when it has to be helmeted or when you put it inside, because it has to be as one. Only question was, if which one's going to be considered bishul or not, because it has to be just asleep. So which then it's similar to the Karban Pesach, and it looks like eating kachim bachutz out of the Beis HaMikdash. However, the Braisa says, nechtach mimenu aver, if let's say one of the limbs were cut off, or nishlik mimenu, one of the limbs were boiled, then ein ze gedim kula, so that's not considered a helmeted goat. It's obvious it's not a Karban Pesach, because a Karban Pesach has to be roasted as one, and then there's not a problem. That the Gemara asks on the Braisa, hashti yeshlem, if you already told us, nechtach mimenu aver, if one of the limbs were cut off, the avagav dukamat filebe hadde, even though you're roasting it with the rest, but it was cut off, so it's not as one. Amrit loy, then you said that's not a problem. Shanishlik mi boy, did you have to tell me that when it's boiled that it's not going to be a problem? As Rashi explains, the Gemara's assumption now is that it's a continuation of the first case. That when you cut it off and then you boiled it, so then it's also not going to be a problem. But the question is, from the second you cut it off, even before it was roasted, already it's not going to be a problem of Makulis to say that it looks like you're having the Karban Pesach outside. What do you need to say that if it was boiled too? Another Gemara says, Rav Sheisha Shasholko b'mechubber. No, the chiddush of that case was that it was not detached. Just part of it was boiled. On that already, it doesn't look like the Karban Pesach, because the Karban Pesach wasn't allowed to be boiled. It had to be roasted altogether. And even that, even though it wasn't even cut off, it still wouldn't look like kachim b'chutz of having the Karban Pesach. And that's why you're allowed to do that even b'zman hazeh. Now, related to what was Rabbi Yosef Glili's opinion on Mishnah, that he said that it was put inside the animal, the Gemara will introduce the following halacha. Amar Rabba says, Haimul Yasa, this stuffed roast, which is, like Rashi says, the way they would do it, they would stuff their chickens and their animals, which is you put different meat and between the flesh of the animal and the bones. So on that, Rabbi says, Sharia, that's permitted. What is he saying it's permitted? They're not talking about putting stuffing of different types of flour inside. Rather, they would put this raw meat there. Now, although you didn't, what happens is that meat has blood inside of it, and you have to salt the meat to get the blood out outside of it. So chiddush of this halacha is that even if they didn't salt the meat the way you normally have to when you're going to cook it, and you didn't even do it the type of roasting, the type of salt you need, which is a lesser salt for roasting, which is pulls out the blood even more, because as Rashi says, if you would have done what's necessary for the amount of salting, so then of course it would be obvious, there's no problem about putting meat inside that was already salted. On that, Rabbi says that even if it wasn't salted that much, it's still going to be kosher. On that, Amalei Abaya asked the obvious question. But that means that the sheep, this animal that you're stuffing, when you're putting in this raw meat that was not salted, you're putting inside of it, it's going to be absorbing dama, the blood that's coming out of that raw meat that's going inside of the sheep, inside of that animal that you're stuffing. How can you go ahead and put it in when it wasn't salted properly? So Amalei, that rabbi responded, Kabayla kach polta. Just like it absorbs, so too it spits out. And therefore, although in the process of cooking, it's taking in the blood that's coming from that stuffing, that raw meat, however, it's spitting it right back out, and then the heat of the fire draws it out, and therefore it's not a problem. So although it's going in, it's going right out, and therefore it's not ending up with the blood inside of it. Nothing more says, Neim Misayele. Let's support this halacha that Rabbi said from our Mishnah, which is Rabbi Yosef Glili had said, Nisnes Kerov has been Meyav L'Teicha. What you do with the Karban Pesach is, you take the feet, you take the intestines, and you stuff it inside the animal, the Karban Pesach, and you roast it. My time, what's the reason that you're allowed to do that? What we're talking about is you're taking this meat and it's going to be inside and it's going to be absorbed by the rest of the animal. Lav mishum d'min kabel kach polta. Must be like Rabbi that said that although it's going to be absorbed by the rest of the animal, it's going to spit it back out. Another thing where it says, no. Amri, they said, shani hasam, by the case of Rabbi Yosef Glili of the Karban Pesach, it's different. Kiven the ikka besa shchita de machalcho. since there is the place of the where the animal was slaughtered, which is this hollow area, and the spit was facing downward, and then, so therefore we continue on Tamid Beis, may divdaivi. That's why it drips out the blood. And that is because when it's hanging in the oven and the opening of the shechita is facing downward, so the blood that's coming out is coming out through the hole of the neck. And therefore, since it's flowing out that way through where it was slaughtered, that's why it's not going to be a problem. But if it was stuck inside the animal, like the way the stuffing is does, with Rambam's halacha, maybe Yitzhak Levi would agree that it would be aser as Abai had asked, because the blood from that is going inside the animal, and therefore it would be not kosher. So the Gemara tries to find a different source. Nemesiele, let's bring support for Rabbah from the following brisa. Says Halev, regarding the heart, Kairai umaitzes dami. If before you want to go ahead and roast it or cook it, you have to rip it open, remove the blood that's inside of it, and then you can go ahead and cook it. However, Loikari, if you did not rip it open, then Kairalacha Bishulei Mutta, then even though you cooked it already, you can rip it open after it was cooked, and then it's going to be permitted. Now, as Rashi explains, the Gemara assumes now that when it says after it was cooked, it really means after it was roasted. Because after it was cooked wouldn't make sense, Lachair, because if the blood's inside and it's being cooked, of course it's going to become usr. How could you rip it afterwards? So it must be it's talking about that it was roasted, as we're going to explain why that would work afterwards. And that's not so difficult, as Rashi says, because many times we find the word sli as termed as bishul, as the Pasuk says in Divrei Yamim, that it says v'yavashla pesach be'esh kamish, but although we know pesach has to be roasted, it says the term of bishul. So therefore, it's talking about that it was roasted. So the Gemara says, now, my time, what would be the reason that it's mutter? How can you go ahead after it was cooked in its blood? Is la misham damrin kabbalah kapolti? Obviously, because we say that just like it absorbed the blood from the heart, in the heart, meat of the heart itself, but that's how it spits it up. And therefore, that's a support to Rabbah. I don't think Mar says no, because Shani Lev the Shia, the heart is different than other meats, which although other meats it would absorb and then it would be a problem, but the heart meat is different, that muscle, because it's smooth. And therefore, it doesn't absorb it at all. And therefore, even if it was being cooked in a pot, where there definitely you can't say Kabbalah Kachpolta. Only Rab is only saying it regarding roasting, and then it gets taken out by the heat of the fire. But by the heart, even if it was cooked, you could even say that Ubishli actually meant Bishl and not Sli, and still wouldn't be a problem, because since it's smooth, it doesn't have a way of getting into it, and that's why it's going to be kosher even after the fact, even after it was cooked. So the Gemara continues to try to bring a support to Rabbah, but Vaharavan Saba, but Ravan the elder, Tafle, he breaded Hahibar Gazal L'Rav. He breaded a dove, some type of a chicken meat, a fowl meat for Rav. Vamale, and Rav told him, Ima Ali Tafle, if this breaded has such a good taste, so Havli V'Echel, give me from the breading and let me eat it. So L'Chari, that's a support for Rav, as Rashi explains, because what happens is this breading was made with the dove, which the blood of the dove, L'Chari, got into the breading, and still he held that when it was roasted together, it's not going to be a problem, because we say Kabbalah Kachpolte. As it was being roasted, then although the blood came into the breading, it goes out. Another thing says, no, it's not a riot, because Hahibis Mida. That case was talking about fine flour, where it's called the dough was, the breading was from Silas, which doesn't get attached so well, Demifer, where it crumbles. And if it crumbles, therefore that's why the blood goes out of it, because it just goes through, it doesn't stick together. But if it was something that was tied together, like the case of that Rab is talking about, then maybe he would say that it would be Asr, and you wouldn't say Kabbalah Kalpolta. Now the Gemara actually asks on Rabbi's halacha. Rava iklid be Rish Galusa. Rava once went to the house of the Rish Galusa. V'taflu le bar avza, and they breaded for him a goose. So Amar, he said, Eloi de chazite, had I not seen the breading, the zig that it was clear, in other words, that the juice that was coming out of the meat, which was flowing into the breading, that it was clear kizuza chivra, like white glass, loyachim, that I would not have eaten from this breading. Now, if you would entertain, as Rabbi says, that just like it takes in, so too it sends forth, and therefore it doesn't end up with the blood that it's being roasted with. So my iri kizig, why do you have to say that if it's clear, I feel like kile zignami, even if it's not clear, it shouldn't be a problem, because it's not go, even if it's going in, it's going right out. Another thing where it says, that's not difficult according to Rabbah, because Hassan b'chivarta, they was talking about white flour, in other words, refined flour, which is like the type of flour that we have, which is not soilless, it's not fine flour, dishar, which that is hard, and since it's hard, therefore, even Rabbah would agree that we would not say polto, it wouldn't send forth. In regular situations, we'd say what it takes in, it sends out. But here, it's very hard, it will stay inside and it won't be poiled. And that's why he would agree also that it would have to be totally clear to see the breading, because if you saw any redness, then we would say that it would be blood and then it would be a problem. The Hilchos and the Gemara concludes the halacha is, so the smida, as we said before, where it crumbles, so then bein asmik, whether even if we see that it's red, we see that the gravy that came out of the meat that's inside the breading, that it's red, or bein loy asmik, or if it's not red, shari, it's going to be permitted, because the blood definitely went out. And although it has redness in the breading, we have to say that that's not from the blood that it has the redness, it's from something else, from the other colorings. Dichivarta, if it's white flour, which we said is very hard, so then where even Rabba agrees, if it's clear, like white glass, and you see there's no redness, then it's permitted. But if not, then it's going to be forbidden. Now, the shar kamachim regarding other flowers, which that is where Rabbi's halacha will come into play, then asmik aster. If it's red, it will be aster. Loy asmik shari. And then if it's not red, then we will say that it's going to be permitted. Now the Gemara continues and says, haimul yasa. So we're talking about that we had mentioned this halacha of stuffing. So he said, this stuffed animal. So man de asa, the one that says that it's forbidden, afilipuma lasachas, even with the mouth facing downward, it's still going to be asa. As Tosis elaborates, that he says, although we just said before, that when we had answered the question, that since the base shechita, where it was slaughtered, is facing downward, and that's why it's permitted, even if, according to the one who, that's who we're going in, that says that you don't say Kabbalah Kalpolta, it will still be permitted, because although we don't say what it absorbs, it sends forth, but when it's facing downward, all the blood comes dripping out anyway, and it's not even going in. So Tosfos says over here is different, because there was talking about where the neck of the animal is totally open, where it's a wide area, so that's why it comes out. That's not similar to the opening of the stuffed animal, which is not such a wide opening, where that mandama that holds kaboli that you don't say kach poltoi. Therefore, even if the mouth is facing downward, it would still be asa. Umandashari, the one that says is permitted, that's the grabba, nafila pumala el. Then even if the mouth is facing upward, which is the it's not, in other words, whatever is there would be coming down into the animal, not outward, then when it's hanging in the oven, although now the opening is not towards the bottom to go out, however, we say that just like it got absorbed into the meat because it's coming in, so too, that's how it sends forth, because we say Kabbalah Kach Poltoi, and then the heat of the fire draws it out, and even in such a case, Rabbi would say that it's going to be permitted. What's the halacha? Muyasta shari, that this stuffed animal with the stuffed raw meat inside of it is permitted, afilipumala el, like Rabbi, even if the mouth is facing upward, it's still not a problem, although it's not dripping outward, it's dripping into the animal, but we say Kabbalah, just like it takes it in the blood, Kach Poltoi, when it's roasted, that's how it sends it forth. Now the Gemara continues on this halacha of dam that we're talking about, of blood. So umtza, the Gemara talks about three different cases regarding this halacha of blood. So regarding raw meat, which got red from blood that was from an artery, something that went into the meat itself, or bay regarding the eggs, in other words, that's a reference to the testicles of the male, that it got red too, so that again, that there was blood that went throughout these testicles. Umizriki, and these are the wide blood veins, these are the arteries that are in the with the neck of the animal where it's slaughtered, which are called the vriden. So pligi by Rav Acher Ravina, we have a machlekes between Rav Acher Ravina in these three cases, as the Gemara will explain, in the cases specifically when it's put directly on coals. So now the Gemara first explains. B'chol ha'tera kula, in the entire Torah, in other words, in the entire Shas, whenever you see machlekes, where between these two, Rav Acha and Ravina, where one of them says, one of them says that it's the halacha is lenient, another one says stringent, and doesn't say who's who, you should just know, the Gemara says, that Rav Acha l'chumra, Ravina l'kula, it's Rav Acha that's being stringent, and Ravina is the one being lenient. And v'hilchasek Ravina l'kula, and halacha is like the lenient one, which in those cases are Ravina. Labar mahani tlas, except for these three cases, again, that we're talking about, with this umtza, and this bey, and the mizriki, the Rav Acha l'kula, Ravin l'churma, the Rav Acha being lenient, and Ravina is being stringent, the Hilchasak Rav Acha l'kula, and the Halacha is still like the lenient one, but in these cases, it's not Ravina, it's Rav Acha. Nothing more explains what was their machlokes regarding these three cases. So, high umtza da asmik, regarding this raw piece of meat, which became red, which obviously some type of vein was punctured, and that it was, the blood is throughout this piece of meat. If you cut it open and then you salt it, so even though it's obviously absorbed with all this blood, even for a pot, which means the process of cooking, which is the one that needs the most getting out of the blood, because or else it's soaking in there, it's being cooked with whatever is there, that would even be enough of a process to cut it and then salt it to permit it even for cooking it. Shaftei b'shvuda, shari. However, even if you didn't cut it open, if you put it on the spit, it's going to be permitted because meidiv dive, because it's going to drip out. And therefore, even if you do just a small amount of salt, which is the amount that you need for roasting, which is less than the amount you need for cooking, it's going to be kosher even in such a case because since it's on the spit, it's going to be dripping out. Achtei agumri, if they were placed on coals, that's where pligi b'ravach ravina, that's where they have the machlekes. Chad aser v'chad trei, one says it's forbidden, one says permitted. Now, manda aser, the one that says forbidden, is mitzmes tzames, is because he holds that the heat of the coal shrivels the meat. And therefore, the blood's not coming out, rather it gets absorbed, it gets stuck inside the meat. So that's going to be aser. Umanda shor, the one says permitted, is mishav shav. No, the coals draw it out, and therefore, since it's coming out, it's going to be permitted. V'hilchas halach is, like we said, like the mekel is mishav shav, we say that the blood comes out, and that's why it's permitted. So these three phases are going to be the discussion where everyone agrees is the halacha by all these three cases, and is the one that they're arguing about. Chaim bei, same thing regarding the testicles. Chatchinu malchinu, if you cut it and you salt it, then afil legederisharin, then even for cooking it's permitted. Talinu b'shvuda sharin, that if they hang it on a spit it's permitted because made of doiv, again, because it drips out. Achtina gumri, if the testicles were placed on top of coals, then pligi b'ravach ravina, that we have this machlekes, chad asa v'chad shari, manda asa mitzmet samas, one says forbidden is because it gets shriveled, it gets stuck inside the blood, manda shari, the one says permitted mishav shav, because it drips out. And v'chei mizuki, the same machlekes is regarding the last case of the arteries in the neck, chatchei malchi, so if it was totally red from the blood, so if you cut it and salt it, then even for cooking it's permitted. Talya b'shvud, if you hang it on the spit, and beis hashchitul tatoy, and the opening of the neck is facing downward, then shari it's permitted because made of doiv, because then it's dripping out. Achti agurmi, if it's placed on coals, that's what pligi b'ravach ravina, that's where we have that machlek is, chad aser v'chad shari. One says aser, one says permitted. And man da aser mit mitzames, one says forbidden is because it gets shriveled, it gets stuck inside. Uman da shari, the one says permitted is mishav shav, because it drips out. The hilcha says, we said, like the mekel is mishav shav, is that it drips out. Now, regarding this halacha, so that was the machlekes that we had between Rav Acha and Ravina, regarding, again, like we said, about these halachas of blood, if it's put directly on coals. So now, on this case of umtza, the Gemara says, hi umtza de asmik, so we spoke about this piece of meat, which was one of the three cases that we spoke about that got totally red, because it has the blood that got absorbed throughout of it. So chalye, regarding its chalye, so what is this? Rashi gives two interpretations. Either means the gravy that comes out of the meat when you cut it, or it means that they would soak in vinegar after it was roasted, and then the blood would get absorbed into this beverage. So that's what chalye is. Again, either it's the gravy that comes out, or it's the vinegar that the meat was soaked in. Aser, that will be aser. Lo yasmik, however, if the meat was not red, and you cut the meat and the gravy came out, or you soaked it after it was roasted, then chalye shari, then that chalye will be permitted. However, Ravina Amahi argues that even if the meat is not red, then even then this gravy or this vinegar that's soaked in after it was roasted will be aser. And the reason is, it's not possible, although you said when it's not red, that vinegar or that gravy is not going to be aser, it's not possible there's not going to be somewhat of a streak of blood that was there. And therefore, when you're soaking it or the gravy that's coming out, it's going to be aser. Now, related to this, the Gemara says, "Omli Mar Bar Meimer LeRavashi, Mar Bar Meimer said to Ravashi that Abba, my father, a Meimer, Migamei LeGemui, he would drink that challah again, whether that means the vinegar that was soaked in or the gravy that came out. He was not concerned like Ravina was that there were streaks of blood. Nekadama, there are those that say Ravashi Gufi Migamei LeGemui, Ravashi himself, like again like Ravachan, that he would drink that challah and he wasn't concerned for Ravina. So now, related to this, the Gemara says, "Omli again." That Mar Bar Meimer said to Ravashi, he said, "Abba, my father, a Meimer related to this discussion, haychalad de chalad bechad zimin. This, which definitely according to the interpretation of the vinegar, says this vinegar that my father would use to soak one time the piece of meat, which was with the purpose to get the blood out from the meat, and that was the purpose of soaking it into that vinegar. which is why the Ravina had that concern that there was going to be a streak of blood inside of it. Sulay tana chalad bay. So then a second time, he wouldn't use the vinegar, although it's something strong and it could draw out the blood that's in the meat. He wouldn't do it a second time to draw out the blood because it lost its potency already because it already was used up, so to speak, the first time by drawing out the blood. He wouldn't use it for another piece of meat. On that, the Gemara asks, Maishna mechala mitamho. What's the difference between a vinegar, strong vinegar that was used once, that it lost its potency, from a very weak, originally weak vinegar? The chaltinim where we don't discriminate amongst vinegars, even though it's a very weak one. So what's the difference between a strong one that was used once, that it also shouldn't be worse than an initially weak one, that it could be used to pull out the blood and as a way of that process? Now the Gemara answers that no, Hasam over there. Isay, we continue on to Ayin Hamad Aleph, L'kiyuah de per be'enim. Regarding the weak one initially, it still has the taste of that original vinegar inside of it because it was never used once to pull out blood from it, from the animal. Now, although it's originally weak and the taste is not ultimate, it's not optimum, however, it will still be able to pull out the blood that's inside of the animal. Hacha less l'kiyuah de per be'enim. But here you don't have its original status, because it already absorbed from the first piece of roasted meat, and that's why there is that difference, although maybe they're going to both be weak, but one that was never used will still be able to do what one was that was maybe even originally stronger, but it was already used, that already lost its potency, and that's why there is that difference, although one, a weak one that we do use, we don't use one, my father would not use one that was already used once before, because now it won't have the potency to draw out the blood from the animal.